Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret it. Do not fret. It leads only to evildoing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for Yahweh, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous, and gnashes at him with his teeth. Yahweh laughs at him, for he sees his day coming. The wicked have bent their bow. I'm in the wrong psalm. No wonder it didn't make sense. Psalm 34. You're thinking, what in the world is he reading? Psalm 34. I got it now. Verse 7. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. See that Yahweh is good. Not good and evil. Good. Only. Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer, but they who seek Yahweh shall not want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. Who is the man that desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Good is what Yahweh expected for man to always have. Not good and evil. Good is what Yahweh intended for us to understand. Not good and evil. You don't have to turn back. I'll read it. But let's just remind ourselves of what we saw in Genesis 3:22. Then Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Become like one of us. I found this very interesting comment on that verse. They retranslated it because they said there's some things that are missing there. Because there's something about it that just doesn't seem sufficient to explain. If we're committed in Elohim's image, then what's the problem with us knowing about good and evil? Remember now, and we won't turn there, but remember now, he says he's become like one of us. Satan told Adam and Eve, once you eat of it, you'll become like Elohim. But they were already in his image. There's something that just doesn't match up. Now think about that and listen to this. This is the way this was translated. And Yahweh Elohim said, the man who was like one of us in purity and wisdom. Man had an opportunity to be pure and remain pure and to have full wisdom. You see the correlation with wisdom coming back in. Is now fallen and robbed of his excellence. He has added la'adat to the knowledge of the good by his transgression, the knowing of the evil. So because he learned evil, it was added to what Yahweh had intended for him to only know, which was good. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever in this miserable state, I will remove him and guard the place lest he should reenter. Once man reached this fallen state, Yahweh didn't want him to live forever in misery. Think about it. We as human beings, we don't long for death necessarily, but we know that when we die, something better awaits us. If Adam and Eve had eaten the tree of life after eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lived forever, and all human beings after that live forever, what a miserable existence it is. There is no hope for a future. This state that we're in would be constant and never ending. So Yahweh in his mercy said, no, not forever. There will be a limit to human life from this point on. If only Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life. And again, we would have maybe done the exact same thing. We would have been attracted by this other tree, which Satan then says, this will make you even more like Elohim than you already are. You can almost see the kind of things that he's putting into their mind. Look in Proverbs 8, verse 1. Wisdom. We should be seeking that, because wisdom is certainly reaching out, calling out to us. Proverbs 8, 1. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights, beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men." You know, we hear this voice inside constantly telling us, don't do that, or do that, trying to get us to do the right thing. And we ignore it far too often. We all do.